On a frosty winter's night in the 1750s, on a cobblestone street in the German city of Hanover, a young girl named Caroline was gazing at the sky with her father, Isaac.
Papa, which constellation is that one? Over there, it's a group of stars that looks like a dog.
Why, according to my almanac here, that constellation is Canis Major. Canis Major contains Sirius, the brightest star in the heavens.
Is that the one astronomers call the dog star?
That's right. Astronomers do call that one the dog star. You're learning so fast, Caroline. I'm so very proud of...
Learning?
Anna, so nice of you to come out of the house and join us, dear wife.
Oh, I didn't come out here to join you, Isaac. I'm here to stop you. Our youngest daughter here doesn't have time for learning, unless she's learning practical things like cooking and cleaning and knitting. You know what I always say, a woman's place is
in the home. I know, Anna, I know. It's just that Caroline is so curious and so sharp. Why, that mind of hers is nearly as bright as the dog star up there. If we give Caroline a chance, she could achieve such wonderful things.
No! I'm putting my foot down, Isaac. And speaking of feet, Caroline, my stockings are torn. Again! I need you to go inside right now and mend them.
Yes, Mutter.
And when you're done, start preparing the roast for tomorrow's supper. And don't burn it like you did the last time.
Yes, Mutter.
Well, what are you waiting for? Shoo, 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 shoo.
Yes, Mutter.
I don't know what you're thinking, Isaac. Against my wishes, you've taught Caroline to read and write and even play the violin. When all she's good for is household work. With your salary as a musician, it's not like we can afford to pay a housekeeper. So until we can marry Caroline off to a ridiculously wealthy gentleman, she will act as our maid. Period.
But Anna, can't you see? Caroline could be destined for greatness. She could be a rising star.
Aha. Well, I think you have stars in your eyes, Isaac. So let me bring you back to Earth. Caroline Lucretia Herschel will never amount to anything, ever!
Well, as it turns out, Anna couldn't have been more wrong. Remember those astronomers Caroline asked her father about? Well, thanks to her patience, humility, and outright brilliance, she would join the ranks of the top astronomers and become a living legend. I'm Rebecca Shear, and this is Who, When, Wow.
Our past is vast and wild. Many things have brought us to this day. As history has been compiled, some important details have slipped away. In our spectacular shared existence, we consider it a business to recognize a few folks you may not know.
When Caroline Lucretia Herschel was 90 years old, she began to write her memoirs, a personal account of her experiences. And here's how 90-year-old Caroline described her first two decades.
It was my lot to be the Cinderella of the family. The first 22 years of my life had been sacrificed to the service of my family without the least prospect or hope of future reward.
Caroline's father, Isaac, believed his daughter could be more than a Cinderella, more than an unpaid servant or maid. But her mother, Anna, disagreed, especially after Caroline was struck by two severe illnesses, smallpox at age 3 and typhus at age 11. The smallpox damaged Caroline's left eye and scarred her face with pockmarks. And as for the typhus...
I've given Caroline a thorough medical examination, Mr. and Mrs. Herschel. Even though your youngest daughter appears to have recovered from the typhus, I'm afraid to report her growth will be stunted.
Stunted, Doctor?
What do you mean?
Well, the infection was so severe that all her life she'll stand exactly as tall as she is now. 4'3".
Like a child?
Ah! As if it weren't bad enough with that misshapen eye of hers and those horrible pockmarks. Now she'll be teeny tiny too. We'll never find a husband for her now, Isaac, let alone a rich one.
But remember what Caroline said about being a Cinderella? Well, this Cinderella eventually was rescued by her fairy godmother. You see, when Caroline was 17 years old, her father died, and her beloved older brother, William, moved to England to be a musician. But 5 years later, William came back and whisked Caroline away from her demanding mother and her humdrum life and showed her a whole new world in England. He gave her singing lessons.
Repeat after me, Caroline.
Me, 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 me.
Me, 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 me.
He taught her English.
Hello, my name is Caroline Herschel.
Hello, my name is Caroline Herschel.
He taught her math.
So, if he paid 5 silver coins to the milkman, 4 silver coins to the gardener, and 3 silver coins to the miller, how many silver coins did we spend?
12.
He also taught her something she had started learning from her father, Isaac, and his almanac.
Which constellation is that one, Caroline? The one that looks like a hunter?
It's Orion. His left foot is actually Rigel, one of the brightest stars in the night sky.
William was an amateur astronomer, meaning he taught himself about the universe and everything in it. But to be an astronomer and study the heavens, you needed a telescope. And telescope technology at the time wasn't exactly top-notch.
Do you love viewing the sky above? Do you want to be an ace when it comes to space? Then come on down to the telescope shop. And that shop with an O-P-P-E, because this is Great Britain. At the telescope shop, our state-of-the-art telescopes are extremely fragile, outrageously hard to use, and preposterously expensive. Not to mention incredibly inaccurate and woefully weak. Why, you'll be lucky if you can see across the shrubbery to your neighbor's backyard. But hey, it's the 1770s. What do you expect? The telescope shop. We put the U in universe.
So, William started building his own telescopes. At first, he tried crafting them with a glass lens, but he couldn't make a lens big enough to capture a clear image of the sky. So, he turned to Plan B and started making curved mirrors that would provide more focus and more magnification by reflecting light.
Hello, everybody! I'm William Herschel, and welcome to Make Glass Mirror! Today, I'll be showing you how to make a metal speculum mirror so your eyes can feast on the skies. And as always, I'm joined by my lovely assistant, my younger sister, Caroline.
Hello, my name is Caroline Herschel.
Now, the first step in making any metal speculum mirror is mixing our key ingredients. In other words, glass, copper, and tin. First, we grind the glass to a fine powder. Next, we stir in a pinch of copper.
a dash of tin. Then we heat the mixture on this flaming hot burner. Where it liquefies and turns into molten metal. From there, we pour the metal into this curved mold, which Caroline created by spending all morning pounding up its key ingredient. Horse manure!
You know what they say. Wake up and smell the horse poop.
So, now that the liquefied metal is in the mold, we polish the metal while it cools and becomes solid. Caroline, will you start the timer, please? Thank you. I am now using both of my hands to polish. Hey, Caroline, would you mind feeding me a piece of toast? My hands are occupied, but I'm feeling a bit peckish.
Yes, brother.
And maybe you can sing a little something while we wait?
Yes, brother.
And now, folks, we will go to a commercial break. Potentially for up to 16 hours, since that's how long it takes with some of these enormous mirrors. This one will be more than 7 feet across.
That's a lot of horse poop.
You bet it is. So stick around. We'll be back. Eventually.
William and Caroline soon had some of the finest telescopes in Europe, and they used them to make astonishing discoveries. William's discovery would double the size of the known universe, and Caroline's discovery would spark her meteoric rise to fame.
Hey, grown-ups, it's Guy Raz here from Wow in the World. Happy Earth Month! As you might have heard, Earth Day is on April 22nd, but we have some ideas for how to celebrate the wows of this amazing planet we call home every day. Grown-ups, visit tinkercast.com/earthday for activities the whole family can do to celebrate the Earth today and every day.
Welcome back to Who and Wow. I'm Rebecca Shear.
Who I am.
Today, we're talking about out-of-this-world astronomer Caroline Herschel. In the 1770s, William and Caroline Herschel were among many astronomers trying to make sense of the night sky. The Age of Enlightenment was on, an exciting revolutionary era that came after the Scientific Revolution.
Coming! Hello?
Hi there. Are you, by chance, the Scientific Revolution? The historical period when the emergence of modern science transformed society's views about nature?
Yep, that's me. And who are you? And why did you bring a moving van?
Oh, don't you know? I'm the Age of Enlightenment. I'm moving in. And taking your place.
But I've been here since the 1500s.
Yep. And it's time to move along, bub. It's the 1700s now. You laid the foundation for science, but now that I'm here, science is gonna explode. Especially astronomy.
But astronomy went gangbusters during my time. Copernicus made the groundbreaking declaration that the Earth was not the center of the universe, but rather that the Earth and other planets orbited the Sun. Then the great Galileo agreed with him.
Yeah, and got arrested for going against the beliefs of the Catholic Church. Now that I'm here, scientists will be free to start looking at the world less through religion or spiritual faith, and more through reason, or human intellect. So, move along, Scientific Revolution. I've got work to do.
The Age of Enlightenment sparked an astronomy craze, Suddenly, everyone wanted to check out the night sky and make new discoveries. But William and Caroline Herschel had an edge. They're handmade telescopes. And by 1780, their telescope was a whopping 20 feet long, nearly as long as a grown-up elephant. And it had an eyepiece and a huge mirror up near the top. Every evening, William would climb a ladder to a wooden platform, peer through the eyepiece, then observe the sizes, colors, and locations of objects he spotted in the sky, like stars.
What a beautiful ball of bright, glowing, hot matter.
Star clusters.
What a fetching group of stars bound together by gravity.
Nebulae.
What an enchanting cloud of gas and dust.
And asteroids.
What a charming chunk of rock and metal that travels around the sun.
Caroline, meanwhile, was sitting at a desk in the yard below, recording William's observations with a quill and ink. The hours were long, the work was repetitive, and on chilly nights, Caroline's ink would freeze in its inkwell. Not only that, but as she later wrote in her memoirs,
"If it had not been sometimes for the intervention of a cloudy night, I know not when my brother, or I either, should have got any sleep."
But then, on the night of March 13th, 1781, when Caroline was 31 years old, the siblings experienced a breakthrough. William was standing on his platform, peering at the Gemini constellation, the group of stars that look like twins, when all of a sudden...
"Caroline, I'm seeing something strange. It isn't a point like a star. It's more like a disc."
"A disc?"
"Yes. I'm tempted to say it's a planet."
"A planet? Hang on, I'm tired of shouting. I'm climbing up." "There. You say you found a planet, brother. But nobody's discovered a planet since ancient times."
"Yes, sister, I know. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. We've known about those planets for ages, but I'm convinced I've discovered a new one. And if I'm correct, this planet is so far away, I may have just doubled the size of the known universe. Now, what shall we name this new planet?"
"Well, all the other planets are named for gods, so how about Neptune?"
"Ah, that'll never catch on."
"Pluto?"
"No one will ever take it seriously. How about George?"
"What? George? As in the king? King George III?
"Yes. I know the Americans aren't very fond of him, what with that whole Revolutionary War thing, but King George is looking to hire a new royal astronomer. If I name an entire planet after him, he's bound to hire me as his right-hand man."
And guess what? Lo and behold...
"I love it!"
That's exactly what King George did.
"Mr. Herschel, I hereby appoint you my new royal astronomer."
"Thank you, Your Majesty."
"Only, I've been told that naming your planet George isn't tracking well in the scientific community. Flies too much in the face of tradition. So, your planet will be called Uranus."
"My what, Your Majesty?"
"Uranus, the Greek god of the sky."
"Oh, I see. But perhaps we ought to pronounce it Uranus from now on. Far fewer giggles that way."
"Ha ha, good point."
Well, now that William had discovered Uranus...
"Uranus!"
Uranus. He and Caroline stepped up their game, eager to see what else they could reveal about the heavens. By 1786, when Caroline was 36, the Herschels were building their biggest reflecting telescope yet, a massive 40-footer. On August 1st, William was away on business. He had left Caroline behind with a gift, a little reflector of her own that she could use at her desk. And that night, she observed something that made her jaw drop.
"Oh my, what am I seeing? It looks fuzzy, like
a star out of focus. And it's moving. Could it be a comet?
A comet is like a cosmic snowball that flies around the sun. It's made of frozen gases, rock, and dust with a tail that stretches for millions of miles. Nowadays, there are about 3,700 known comets. But back in Caroline Herschel's day, discovering comets was still pretty new and had never been done by a woman. So on August 2nd, after Caroline spotted her mysterious celestial object for the second night in a row, she dipped her quill in her inkwell, made a quick drawing, then wrote a letter to the secretary of the Royal Astronomical Society, the main scientific group in England.
Sir, last night I found an object I suspect to be a comet. I made several drawings of the stars in the field of view with it. I have enclosed a copy of them with my observations. I have the honor to be your most obedient, humble servant, Caroline Herschel.
Within days of writing her most humble letter, Caroline received a response.
Madam, I believe the comet has not yet been seen by anyone in England but yourself.
Well, it wasn't long before everyone in England and Europe was buzzing about Caroline's discovery.
Have you heard about Caroline Herschel?
She's the mademoiselle they call the Comet Huntress.
The one who discovered the First Lady's Comet.
That was the comet's nickname. But if you search any astronomy database, you'll see that it's officially called
Comet C-1786-P1 Herschel.
Since comets are named after the astronomers who discover them. Caroline's discovery didn't just boost her fame, it boosted her confidence, big time. So in 1787, the year after she discovered the First Lady's Comet, she made a gutsy move.
William, the king has been paying you £200 a year as his royal astronomer. As your assistant, I think I should be paid too.
But Caroline, I take care of you, don't I? Provide you with food and pocket money. And
I don't want to survive on my big brother's handouts, William. I want to provide for myself. Please, ask the king to put me on his payroll.
So, he did. King George III obliged and agreed to pay Caroline £50 a year as assistant to the royal astronomer. It was the first time a female astronomer had ever been paid for her work. In fact, it was the first time a woman got paid for any scientific research. Well, now that Caroline had a salary, she began working harder than ever. In December 1788, at age 38, she discovered her second comet.
Comet 35P, Herschel, Rigolet.
The Rigolet part was added later, when a French astronomer spotted the comet on another orbit. In 1790, Caroline discovered her third comet.
Comet C-1790-A1, Herschel.
And her fourth.
Comet C-1790-H1, Herschel.
The following year, she discovered her fifth.
Comet C-1791-X1, Herschel.
And in 1793, she discovered her sixth.
Comet C-1793-S2, Messier.
Yep, she didn't get credit for that one. A French astronomer named Messier had beaten her to the punch by a matter of days. So in 1797, when Caroline discovered yet another comet, she was determined to get credit where credit was due. As with her first discovery back in 1786, her brother was out of town. And in the middle of the night, the moment she spotted this fuzzy object moving in the sky,
oh my!
She rushed to the stable. She woke up her horse. Then she began the 26-mile trip to the Royal Observatory in Greenwich, headquarters of the Royal Astronomical Society, to file her report. She galloped through villages. She leaped over rivers. She sped through forests. And after 6 hours, Caroline finally reached the Royal Observatory.
May I help you?
Hello, my name is Caroline Herschel, and last night I discovered a comet.
As it turns out, however, over in France, an astronomer named Bouvard was reporting a sighting of the exact same comet. So Caroline Herschel's discovery became known as
Comet C-1797-P1 P1. Bouvard. Herschel.
Ah, well. C'est la vie.
But Caroline Herschel's achievements didn't end there. William died in 1822. And 6 years later, when Caroline was 78 years old, she completed a catalog of all the heavenly objects she and her brother had observed. When the siblings started their project, there were about 100 known objects in the sky. By the time they finished, there were 2,500. The Royal Astronomical Society was so impressed, they named Caroline their first female honorary member.
Congratulations, Miss Herschel.
Then the Royal Irish Academy of Science named Caroline their first female honorary member.
Congratulations, Miss Herschel.
And years later, on Caroline's 96th birthday, the King of the German state of Prussia awarded her the Prussian Gold Medal of Science.
Congratulations, Miss Herschel.
Not long after that, on January 9th, 1848, just shy of her 98th birthday, Caroline Herschel died. She was buried beside her parents in her hometown of Hanover, with a lock of her brother's hair and her father's almanac. Caroline wrote her own epitaph for her gravestone.
Here rests the earthly veil of Caroline Herschel. At the age of 97 years and 10 months, she fell asleep in happy peace.
But Caroline Lucretia Herschel's legacy lived on. In 1889, astronomers honored her by naming an asteroid Lucretia. In 1935, they named a crater on the moon C. Herschel. An everlasting extraterrestrial reminder of a woman who blazed new trails, reached for the stars, and made spectacular achievements that were truly out of this world.
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Who When Wow Mystery Edition early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with the Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts or Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. And grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Who When Wow is an original Tinkercast production. Our show is written by me, Rebecca Shear. Eric Shimalonis is the mastermind behind our original music and sound design. Meredith Halpern-Ranzer, Mindy Thomas, and Guy Raz serve as our show's executive producers, with additional production assistance from Henry Moskal. Our Who When Wow theme song was composed and performed by The Pop-Ups. For more on their 3-time Grammy-nominated all-ages music, find them at thepopups.com. Special thanks to this week's actors: Evan Casey, Kevin Corbett, Josh F.S. Moser, Jessica Rao, and Alejandro Ruiz. Want to keep the Who When Wow experience going all week long? Grown-ups, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Our handle is @WhoWhenWowPod. Visit WhoWhenWow.com for free activities and resources that extend the wow after each episode. We couldn't put the wow in Who When Wow without you, so thanks for listening. Now get out there and make a difference in your world. You could be the next Who to wow the future.
Who When Wow was made by Tinkercast and sent to you by Wondery.